Greetings, saints. God bless you, and thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to give us wisdom and understanding today concerning the real revelation of born again. What does it really mean, and what does a born-again person look like? And Father, we just thank you for doing this. We thank you for opening our understanding. We thank you for causing us to overcome any traditions of men, Lord, which are pretty rampant out there concerning this. So we just thank you, Lord, for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, okay. I think I'm going to start in John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God. It is children of God here, not sons of God. As some versions put, there are two different words. And we have to separate the two. The Bible says, he that diligently bringeth up his servant from a child shall be, have him become a son at the last. The whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The sons of God look like Jesus. He is the only born son of God. And we have to be reborn sons of God in him. And so, but when we first come to God, we are a technon, not a huios. A technon is a child and a servant because of their relationship to the Lord. A son, it doesn't have the servant's relationship to the Lord, a huios, right? So, he gave them the right to become children of God. To them that believe on his name, who were born, so we're talking about a rebirth here, right? The word born here is genao. It can be is translated two ways, main ways, begotten and born. So when you see begotten, suspect it's the same word, born, because almost always is. So, but let me point something out to you. A child is someone who's born again in spirit. They have a new spirit from God, a born-again spirit, in the image of Jesus' born-again spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to create in us the life of Christ, first spirit, and then soul, and then ultimately body. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. He shall take of mine and declare it unto you. Okay? So, but the beginning of this process is a child of God. Now, maybe we can go into that later in more depth. But the beginning of this process is a born-again spirit. Now, when you hear people talking about born-again in the, I would say, apostate church, most often they think there's nothing more to it than a born-again spirit. They actually say sometimes, you got everything you're going to get. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. It's a big fat lie. Okay, because there is the manifestation of the sons of God. And we'll talk about what manifestation means, but it means a child growing up to be a son. Manifesting in his soul what was put in his spirit. Now I want to say something about your spirit. Your spirit is it's clean, it's fresh, it's holy, it's righteous. But it has to be educated. It's very much a part of your spirit is your conscience. Your conscience tells you what's right and what's wrong. But your conscience won't tell you what's right and what's wrong if you don't teach it, train it. We by the word of God, we should be training our conscience to tell us what is right and what is wrong. And if you obey your conscience, which is your spirit, in your spirit, if you obey that, you will grow up to be sons of God. If you disobey it, you will not. You will not manifest sonship. We are sons of God. We're all sons of God through faith. Faith calls the things that be not as though they were, right? Faith is believing you have something because of the word of God that you don't manifestly have. Manifestation, of course, is talking about the shining forth from, the glories of God shining forth from his people who walk in his steps. Okay? So, again, I'm going back to verse 13 here. Remember that. Children are born again in spirit. Sons are born again in soul. And your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. It is what makes you, you, right? But your spirit is the most holy part of you, and it's your connection to God, because God is spirit. Okay? So, 13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. It's synonymous with born again. Born of God, okay? Now, there is a born again at the beginning of your experience. It's receiving this new spirit, this enlightenment, okay? But you're also heading towards another born again, which is called born again in soul. When God generally speaks about born again, he is talking about the whole process, and many people think they've got everything right up front, which is a lie because they haven't studied the Word, okay? But of God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Okay, now, sons of God are always the Word made flesh. When you study the Word of God, it is to get it down in your soul. You devour it. It's a food. It's a manna out of heaven, who is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. As you devour that manna out of heaven, you become what you eat, as they say. Okay? The seed, which manifests sonship, the sonship of God, is the Word of God. It is his sperma. In some places, that's the way it's is the Greek word, sperma. It is his sperma, the Word. If you don't receive the Word into your soul, the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind, your will, and emotions is a part of your soul. To be transformed, you must humble yourself to the Word of God. That's receiving it into yourself. That's a breaking up your fallow ground so that it can receive the seed instead of rejecting the seed. That represents repentance. A person must repent when they read the Word of God so that it goes into them and recreates in them Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Which glory? Well, Paul talked about three glories that are three different bodies that a person receives. There's star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. Yes, there are differences of people in heaven. Okay? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten. This is again the word genao, born, the only born from the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, if he's the only one born of the Father, the only born son, how do we get to be sons? We abide in him, in his body. We are one in his body as we abide in him by faith. And we're sons of God through faith, meaning that as we believe we have received what God gave to us at the cross, which is reconciliation, which is a total exchange. When we believe we've received that, then God begins and will finish putting that all together. Because it is the power of God, not the power of man, that does this. People say, you can't do that. I know, that's true. But we can believe God, and he can do it. Okay? So, I'm going to read one more verse to you, just because we're there. Verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten, some versions say, Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, the most ancient of manuscripts has the word God there instead of Son. And the numeric pattern proves that is correct. So you're really looking at the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, if someone's born of God, what does God bring forth? What does a human bring forth? Humans. What does God bring forth? God. Who is that living in you? God. He's the only begotten or born God. So don't say it's blasphemy unless you don't believe that's God in you. Okay? Unless you don't believe Christ is in you, in which case you are indeed reprobate, the Bible says. Okay? If you have God in you, then the part of you is God. and a part of you is not. You can be son of man and son of God. If God has a son, what is it? If man has a son, what is it? It's a human. That's what you call son of man. Jesus was, according to Romans 1 and 3, both son of man and son of God. And we too are both son of man and son of God. Okay, we are created in his image. And this process is continuing, you see. So, when you say born again, in a lot of cases in the scriptures, it's talking about more than just the initial born again of your spirit. Because some people don't obey their spirit, which is in agreement with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes they don't obey, so therefore they don't grow up. Okay, and of course, you're taught by apostate religion that you don't have to obey. But everybody who has faith can obey. Because when you believe, God gives you power. And if you don't believe the gospel, then and you're believing you're always going to be a sinner, then you're always going to be a sinner. Because the Bible says, be it unto you according to your faith. That's what Jesus said. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you. So if you want to believe that, go ahead. But there's no faith involved, and you'll never manifest sonship. So let's go over to John chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came unto him by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born anew, or from above, or of God. You see, they're all synonymous. Be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We must be born again, or from above, to see the kingdom of God. You have no spiritual sight or insight unless you're born from above. And if your soul is born of God, you know him better than anyone. Because that's your mind and your will and your emotions coming into the image of Jesus' mind, will, and emotions. Okay? Oh, praise be to God. So, born here is the same word for begotten in the scriptures. As we read on down, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So he's not talking about a rebirth of the natural man, but a rebirth of the spiritual man, right? And except one be born anew. This is somebody that's already alive. Except one be born anew or from above. Except a person. So we're starting out with the person here. We're starting out with the human. But they have to be born anew. From above, or born above, from above, as the translation actually says. But he can't see the kingdom of God. You know why? Because the kingdom of God is within you. And the kingdom of God is something that the natural man has no understanding of, can't comprehend. He receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Okay? He can't see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, Well, does he have to go back into his mother's womb? No, we're not talking about that kind of born again. Okay, so he says, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of water. Again, except one. This is talking about somebody that's already born. Be born of water. Now, this somebody that's already born has to be born of water. These people say this water represents the natural birth. No, it has nothing to do with that whatsoever. Okay? Nothing. This is somebody who's already been naturally born, and they've already come through that water. He's talking about another water. Except one be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Well, the water, I believe, is probably... Let's read 1 John 5, 7 and 8. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is the truth. And there are three who bear witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three agree in one. The Spirit, of course, is the Spirit of God, the omnipresent Spirit of God Almighty. And that's in agreement with the water, which the Bible calls in Ephesians the washing of the water with the Word. This is the Word of God, okay? And the blood, and of course, the blood is not the blood of man, it's the blood of Jesus, right? And of course, that blood of Jesus, the blood of man that we inherited through our parents, is full of sin. The sins of the parents are passed on unto the children, the Bible says. Okay, but Jesus is the last Adam. He is the born-again creation Adam, the one who spiritually fathers all of us. It is He and the Word that He is that's sown into our heart and recreates Him in us. Okay? You must agree with the Word. Don't agree with religion. It's a farce. The devil always leads people astray with religion. Which one's right? None of them are right. Okay? The only one that's right is this Word right here. You can find out the truth if you seek for it and you love it. If you love it, God will show it to you. If any is willing to do the will of the Father, he shall know of the teaching, the Bible says. If you're not willing, if you've got an idolatry with a church or a religion or a preacher, then you're probably not going to know the truth. His servants you are whom you obey, you know. And everyone, Jesus said, when he is perfected, shall be as his master. You better make your master Jesus. You better make your master the Holy Spirit. If you make it a man or you make it a religion, because Jesus didn't start any religion, he departed from every religion that was in his time. And there's nothing changed. There's no new thing under the sun. No religion has the truth. Oh, yeah, they all got pieces of the truth, but they don't want to see each other's pieces. So the best thing to do is go right straight to the Lord. Get it right out of the Word. Okay, don't trust any man. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You say, my version has a little different word there in 1 John 5:7-8. Yep, that's true. This one is much closer to the numeric, and it's pretty close. And I would say you need to pay attention to this. There's three who bear witness: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. Notice, this has nothing to do with the natural water. It has to do with the water of the Word, the washing of the water with the Word. Born again is washing away your old man, drowning him in the baptism of water, of the Word. You know, it's a symbol. Your baptism is a symbol of drowning that old man in the water of the Word, putting him to death. When you humble yourself to this Word, you put that old man to death. And the new man that comes up is in the image of Jesus Christ. Okay? So, now let's go back, since we have looked at that. Except one be born of water, John 3:5. Except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Truly so. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So, if you're born of the water and the Spirit, and these two agree, it can't be born of the flesh, which is the natural, right? So, that's just more religious hogwash, right? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born anew. Amen. We must be born anew. Begotten, by the way, is the same word. And so I'd like to do a little study with you on that, begotten, to see what it is to be born again, because you don't just pick out one or two verses and twist them out of context. We can see here that they've already done that with this. So let's go to 1 John 2:28. And now, my little children, and it is children, and a little further down, he says, now are we the children of God. Technon, not huios. And if they say sons, it's because they just thought it sounded good. That's all. Because the word is wrong. Now are we the children of God. It's not yet made manifest. 3:2. What we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifest, we shall be like him. There it is. Oh, boy. So, we're coming into the image of Jesus. Now, let's go back to 28 again. And now, my little children, abide in him, that if he be manifested, oh my goodness, him manifested. And the word manifested here is the word phaneru, to make visible or cause to shine. It's actually making visible and causing to shine forth the glory of God. As you come into the manifestation of the Son of God, you shine forth. Paul gives us three stages. He called it the star glory, the moon glory, and the sun glory. I'm not going to explain that to you, but it's a progressive stage, and the sun is the greatest glory, okay, because it represents the sun, right? Star glory is separate from one another. Moon glory is coming into unitedness, because the moon is one, but also the moon is dead. And we have to go through death to have resurrection. The moon is dead. It reflects only the light of the sun. That is a stage that we go through. First, we have our own glory, like the star glories. Then we have the moon glory, which is death. But it's unity, because you can't become one with your brother unless you're dead to self. Okay? And a lot of people haven't made it through that one yet, and maybe never will. Okay? And then, of course, the next one is once again to have your own glory, but it is the glory of the Lord in you. The third stage and the greatest stage of the glory of God manifested in you. Okay? So, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, phaneru, to make visible, to cause to shine. He is shining out. The more I've actually had this experience of when I was young in the Lord, but running fanatically after the Lord. I had a man who wasn't even a saved person. He was working with me. He was watching me closely. He was learning from me. He was a worldly person. But I again met him some years after I was teaching him how to do his job. And he said, "You know, David, I never told you this," he said, "but I saw you one time walking across the pipe steel unit there at Exxon." And he said, "There was a glow all around you." And I told him, I said, "Well, you know, Christians have that glow. It's the glory of God. And sometimes it can be seen if God enables us to see it. And it grows as we grow." And he was awed at that. It made an impact on him. And I noticed as an apprentice, he watched me very closely. He was, you know, I could see questions in his face and in his eyes. I always talked about the Lord, you know. He was raised a Catholic, and they put that halo around the head of Jesus and the apostles and so on and so forth. And there is a glory that shines forth out of God's people. Sometimes it can be seen, but it's always seen in the spirit realm. Always. So this glory grows, and it's a process, but it grows. And the born again is a process, and it grows too, because your soul is your mind, will, and emotions, and it all needs to come into the image of Jesus, right? If he shall be manifested, of course, the received text, by the way, also has a footnote that said this word is if, not when. It's not talking about the coming of the Lord physically in the sky. We know that's a when. It's talking about his manifestation in you. That's an if. And so they changed it because they knew the Lord was coming, so that couldn't be right. So no, the numeric pattern is in if he shall be manifested. If he shall shine forth from you, it says, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If there's this glory shining forth from you, you will not be ashamed at the coming of the Lord. Okay? And that is the parousia. That's the physical coming of the Lord. The manifestation is that epiphany. It is the coming of the Lord in you. The Lord comes first in his people. It's a epiphania. The last part of that, phania, is like this, phaneru, you see. And it means to shine forth from. It's spoken of the children of God as they grow up in the Lord, the epiphany. The epiphany is the coming of the Lord in you, and the parousia is the coming of the Lord for you. Of course, he doesn't want to come for you before he comes in you, because then you would be ashamed before him at his coming. And If you know that he is righteous, hey, what is this righteous? It is that shining forth of the Lord. What? How do you define righteous? Righteous is in right standing with the Word. Remember we talked about the Word is the seed of God? The Word is manifested in you? Oh, glory be to God. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also that doeth righteousness is born of him. That's right, the word begotten there is genao, the same word, born. Now, I favor translating a word the same way through the Bible so you connect things. Now you want to see this is born again right here. It's the same thing. So many times when the Lord speaks, whether he's speaking through John or whoever he's speaking through, many times he speaks when he says born are born of him, or born again, or born from above. He's talking about the whole process, not just the beginning of the process. You can do nothing unless you have a born-again spirit. With a born-again spirit, you're then empowered to hear the voice of God through his spirit, to have a relationship with God through his spirit. It's spirit to spirit, you see. And so we know Jesus was born of God. He had a born-again spirit, he had a born-again soul, and he received a born-again body because he had a born-again soul. If you get a born-again soul, you'll have a born-again body. If you don't get a born-again soul, to some extent, 30, 60, or 100-fold, you won't have a born-again body. When Jesus spoke about those that bore fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold, he was talking about the manifestation of sonship as 100-fold. And you're in this process, you see. Now, let me say this. We're all sons of God through faith. You must believe that the Son of God exchanged his life for yours, which is reconciliation exchange, so that now, by faith, you are a son. How do you get sonship? You have to first be a son by faith. Okay? So, don't give up. When you look in the mirror, see Jesus. That's what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. We'll talk about that a little later, okay? He that doeth righteousness is born of him. Okay, so that which is born of him in you is doing righteousness. The old man doesn't do righteousness, neither can he go to heaven. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom. That's what Jesus said. He has to die. You have to lose your life to gain your life. And by the way, they inhabit the same territory, which is your body, the old man and the new man. So therefore, when the new man takes ground, he has to do it at the expense of the old man. The old man has to die in order to give more ground to the new man. You have to lose your life to gain your life, Jesus said. The outer man is decaying. The inner man is being renewed day by day. As the outer man decays, the inner man's renewed. If you're not going to die to self when you read his word, repent and believe his word and act on his word, you are not going to grow up into the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, Paul said in Romans chapter 8, because that's the only hope that the creation has to be delivered from the curse. Jesus went around delivering the creation from the curse, and so do his sons. So do the sons of God. They do the same work that Jesus did. Okay? Now we're seeing that born of him is a much bigger picture, but it's part of the process, and also you see the end from the beginning. You receive the end from the beginning, as the Lord taught you to do, so we're accounted righteous through faith. If you believe he took away your sins and he gave you his life, that's faith. And then you must cooperate with him in this death process of the waters of baptism, putting to death your old man, that is the word of God, putting to death your old man so that your new man can live. Amen? The old man is drowned and the new man comes up, and that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that glory that you have a hope of course, is that star glory, moon glory, sun glory. Okay? I want to continue to tell you what this born-again person looks like. So, I'm going to start in verse 2, chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the children of God. It's not yet made manifest what we shall be. It's not yet manifested. You're children. your servant. He that bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become a son at the last. Okay? You're a servant of God. You are a child of God, but you're not yet manifesting sonship. You are a son of God by faith, but you're not manifesting. It's not shining forth yet. Okay? It's not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, if he shines forth in us, if he's caused to become visible, shining forth in us, right? Shall be manifested, we shall be like him. Oh my goodness, isn't that awesome? We shall be like him. So the manifestation of sonship is to be like him. And again, it's the word if in the original. And for we shall see him even as he is. How do you see him even as he is? Well, when you look in the mirror, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. That's faith. It's faith to look in the mirror and see Jesus. But it's the word of God. You don't look in the mirror and see your old man. You don't look in the mirror and see yourself as a sinner. You see yourself as a saint. Jesus said, everything that you pray for, believe you received it, and you shall have it. Mark 11:24. You have to believe you've received it. That's how faith works. People don't even know what faith is. Faith is believing something you don't see until you do see it. Same goes for healing and everything else you get from God, right? We shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. Some people have another Jesus, and they're quite content to grow up into this other Jesus because he kind of favors them as they live in their old ways, you know. And of course, that's not the Jesus that exists. And it's another Jesus and another spirit and another gospel. And you can't manifest the 30, 60, and 100-fold. Jesus said the one out of four in the parable of the sower did. One out of four manifested 30, 60, and 100-fold. You can't do that if you got another Jesus. You might come into the image of that other Jesus, but that's not the Jesus. Anything that's another Jesus is Antichrist. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Let's just believe it like it says it. Now, I know there's lots of preaching that's Antichrist preaching that's against this, but I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If it's the only seed that'll bring forth Christ, it's the Bible. Okay? Everyone that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Everyone that doeth sin doeth also lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested, there's that word again, to take away sins. And in him is no sin. Okay, so when you sin, are you in Christ? Well, no, you're not in Christ. There's no sin in him. You say, I abide in Christ. Oh, well, then you have to walk as he walked. That's what he said. Okay. And if you walk as he walked, are you sinning? Well, no, you're not. Okay. And you know that he was manifested to take away sins. Oh, well, they thought, well, we just keep our sins, but we get forgiven. No, they had that in the Old Testament. You haven't come into the New Testament if you believe that. He was manifested to take away sin. Now, this isn't just the action of sin. It's the very nature of sin. He took it away. He nailed it on the cross. He delivered you. He exchanged your life for his life. Will you accept this exchange? It is a matter of you giving up your life and accepting his life. And in him is no sin. So when you sin, you step out of him. Can't grow that way, because you're growing the flesh instead of the spirit. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. So when you abide in him, you don't sin. Who is the man that abides in him? It's your spiritual man. Who is the man that does not abide in him? It's your carnal man. It's fleshly man. Okay. You must die. If you feed the spiritual man, he will grow. If you feed the carnal man, he will grow. And you won't bear the fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold, and you won't be accepted in the kingdom of God. Okay? My little children, let no man lead you astray. Now this is so simple. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Well, I know a lot of people don't like to read 1 John chapter 3. It just doesn't fit their theology. But it's the truth, and you can ignore it, but you won't grow up, and you won't bear fruit. And you know what he says about those that don't bear fruit. So sorry. So much for your once saved, always saved, and other such goofy doctrines as that. My little children, let no man lead you astray. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. That just stands alone. It's all the Word of God. He that doeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Now, your old man is from the devil. He is born from beneath, as Jesus said of the Pharisees, the very leadership of his people at that day. You're from beneath, I'm from above. So, in you there is a man that is born from beneath and is of the devil. And in you there is a man that's born from above and is of God, born of God. Who's going to win? It's up to you. To this end was the Son of God manifested. So, and also you must be manifested as the Son of God. He must shine forth from you, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And that he did. He became a sacrifice. He bore your sins upon that cross so that he could give you his life. He made an exchange, which is the word reconciliation. He made this exchange. He gave you his life. And now you don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. That's what Paul said. That was his good confession in the sight of many witnesses, right? And that's our good confession too. Jesus lives in me. I look in the mirror and I see him by faith, not because of my righteousness or my ability or anything else, but because he said it. And because he said it, I'm going to believe it. And because I believe it, I'm going to have it. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, received is past tense, and you shall have them. All things whatsoever. Have you asked God for the manifestation of sonship? Are you believing him for it? If you believe that he took away your sins, then you have it by faith, right? Because when the sin is gone, guess who's left? Okay. To this end was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God, there it is, begotten, born. This is the truth about being born again. Whosoever is born of God doeth no sin. So, you know that sin that you do? That's keeping you in that part of your life from being born of God. If you continue on with that, you cannot bear fruit in that area and other areas where you let the old man live instead of taking him to the cross, right? Whosoever is born of God doeth no sin, because his seed, which is what? According to the parable of the sower, is the word of God. There it is, the water, the spirit and the water. Whosoever is born of God doeth no sin, because his seed abideth in him. And he cannot sin, because he's born of God. What's born of God is God. Does God sin? God cannot sin, the Bible says. Okay? And if you're a son of God, in that, let's just say, that baby that's being born in you, that's coming to fruition and is about to be birthed to be seen by the world, that's the fruit of Jesus Christ in you. You may have had dreams like that. Many people have dreams about having babies, even men. And what it's talking about is your spiritual man. Don't mistreat your spiritual man. He must grow. He needs the breath of God, which is the Spirit of God, same word, right? He needs water. He needs food. The word of God, right? You got to feed him. Otherwise, he just dies in the womb, twice dead and plucked up by the roots. And it's your fault if you do that, okay? So, born of God is not sinning. And that man in you that's born of God cannot sin. Have you noticed that you're not tempted with some things you used to be? Can God finish that process and do it with everything in your life? He's God. Don't say he can't do this. You can say you can't do it, but that's okay. But you can't say he can't do it. And if you believe he's done it, then you have to believe that he's done it. He took, past tense, took away your sins. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Can you be have a born-again spirit and continue to walk as a son of the devil? Well, of course you can. People do it all the time. But they won't bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And why did he stop at 100-fold? Because that's 100%. Every servant, when he is perfected, shall be as his master. Again, you don't want to look at a preacher. You don't want to look at a religion. They've always all been wrong. Always. In Jesus' day, they were all wrong. You have to go to the Word of God. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And the children of the devil. Okay. So there's two manifestations happening. A manifestation of the Son of God, the manifestation of the Son of the devil, the manifestation of the children of God, the manifestation of the children of the devil. Okay. So whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. That's the same thing as not born of God. See, up above, because he is begotten of God or born of God. So if you're not of God, you're not born of God. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. How long do you want to let that guy hang around? Because you're running out of time. You see, you're in this in order to crucify the old man and bring life to the new man. Obey your baptism. It was an act of faith, believe it or not, and you have to believe it. If you believe that at your baptism the old man died and the new man came to life, then from then on you say, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You must agree with the good confession. Don't be talking about how you're a sinner and you repent. If you sinned, repent. Go to God. Ask him to deliver you and continue to believe he has. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. They are not born of God. This is not born again. That's the old man. Neither he that loveth not his brother. A person that doesn't love his brother, he's not born of God. He's not a son of God. The hatred is the old man. The sin is the old man. It's not the new man. He cannot sin. For this is the message which you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So if you're born of God, that part of you which is born of God loves your brother. If you continue to hate your brother, criticize your brother, slander your brother, if you continue to do things against your brother, speak against your brother, which is the word blasphemy, to speak against, then you'll never be born of God. Not as Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. Uh-huh. And there's a lot of people called Christians that are slaying their brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Yep, it's always that way. That him that's been born of the flesh always persecutes him that's born of the Spirit. As Paul said, they hate you, because that spirit that's manifested in them is not the same spirit that's manifested in you. They are contrary. They are enemies. Okay? So what about this love? Let's go down to 4 and 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Yes, God is love. Then who must we be? Love. We must be love. Go read 1 Corinthians 13 and find out what love is, and just know that's what God is. That's the what God is creating. That's the end process, right? Let us love one another, for love is of God. It is born of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. Begotten, same word, born. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. Yep. If you want to be accepted by faith through grace, but you don't want your brother to be, you don't love. If you're criticizing your brother instead of praying and believing for him, you don't love. You want grace for you. You want to be accepted. You want to be blood covered, but you don't want him to be blood covered. You don't love, and you don't know God. If you're factious, you don't know God, and you don't love, and you'll never bear fruit, and you're running out of time. So let's go back, since we have proven verse 3, chapter 3, verse 11 here in chapter 4 and verse 7. We know what born again is. Born again is love. Born again is righteousness. Born again is not sinning. Okay, here we're finding out what this is, you see. What is born again? Can you be born again and continue to do those things? Well, the part of you that's doing those things is not born of God. And I'm going to prove you that, if you just stick with me. But let's read a little bit further down here. Verse 13. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hateth you. Well, Jesus said, hey, if it hated you, it hated me first, you know. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're not being persecuted by God's, quote, unquote, people, you're not walking before the Lord. Read through the Bible. Find out every person that came that represented a son of God, all the prophets and so on and so forth. Look at them, how they were hated. If you're not walking with God, you're not going to draw any hatred. If you are walking with God, those who are not born of God in their soul, they will be your enemies. Okay? It's just that way. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hateth you, we know that we have passed out of death and into life because we love the brethren. You who don't love the brethren, who criticize the brethren, who judge the brethren, who don't pray and believe for the brethren, you are not born of God in that area because we love the brethren. He that loveth not abideth in death. Now, you can't bring forth life if you abide in death. Whosoever hateth his brother, and by the way, this is not this fierce hatred that everybody wants to make it. The Lord said that his people hated him. He threatened to kill him to Moses and make of him a greater nation because the witnesses came back and only two of them agreed with God and they loved God and they went to the promised land in their bodies. That's a spiritual type. The rest of them died in the wilderness because they hated God. If you don't agree with God, if his word is not more important to you than your word or the word of man, you hate God. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And, you know, people murder in more than one way. They murder a person's reputation. They're murderers. Hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Sad to say it, folks. It's just the facts. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And his children are loved too. When you're born of him, that part of you that's born in him is God. I'm going to prove that to you too. If you say God doesn't dwell in you, well, you got a problem. You need to be born again. Hereby know we love because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Yes, you are no good to anybody if you don't lay down your life. That old carnal man has to die. As the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. The more you die, the more you live. It's just that simple. So if you love the people around you, you love your children, you love your wife, you love your husband, if you love them, you will die. If you don't, you'll live. You're selfish. You want the old man to live. If he lives, you die. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. You have to be twice born to be twice dead. And if you have a twice born spirit, you can still die. Yes, you can still die because you have a soul to be born again. Your fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold, is born in your soul. You already have fruit in your spirit. It's a brand new spirit. 30, 60, and 100 fold has to be born. The mind, the will, and the emotions in your soul. But whoso hath the world's goods and beholdeth his brother in need and shutteth up his compassion from him. How doth the love of God abide in him? Oh, if you don't have the love of God, remember, you're not born of him. My little children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue. There's a lot of people that do, I love you, and then they turn around and stab you in the back. They're fakes. They know what it takes to be acceptable around them, and they know the lingo. They just don't have the walk. They're fakes. And lots of times you know that, but you give them the benefit of the doubt, and you hope in God for them, and you pray for them. Ultimately, if there is a problem, though, they will come out. Their claws will come out. My little children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby shall we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our heart before him. Amen. Well, let's go over to 1 John 5 and 1. Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God. Do you really believe that real Jesus is the Christ? Well, you don't even see him unless you're born from above. You can't see the kingdom of God. And whosoever loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So if you're born again, that part of you is born again if you love your brother. You love him as much as you love yourself. You want grace. You want the blood covering, but you don't want him to have it. You want to reveal his sins. You want to be angry with him because of his sins. You want to judge him because of his sins, but you don't judge yourself. You're a hypocrite. Loveth him that is born of him. Hereby we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do his commandments. If you don't do God's commandments, you don't love God, according to Jesus, and you don't love his children. Because you're leading them astray. You're leaven that's leavening the whole lump. You have to be kicked out because of your leaven. God does that regularly. He turns people over to the devil for the destruction of their flesh, that their spirits might be saved in the day of the Lord. If they don't grow and they're just leaven, he just turns them over to the devil and they go berserk. And then they're gone. They're just, you know, by the way, they'll crucify you too. Okay? Hereby we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Listen, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Did you hear that? He didn't say whosoever. He said whatsoever is born of God. In other words, whatsoever part of you is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith. Oh, glory be to God. So, again, a person who walks in faith will be born of God. And whatsoever part of him walks in faith will be born of God. And whatsoever part of him loves his brother will be born of God. And if he doesn't, he won't bear any fruit. He'll stop growing right there. Won't bear fruit. In verse 18, we know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that was born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Now, you may argue about who this is. It is Christ in you. Because he was born of God, he keepeth himself. And when Christ in you is able to keep himself in you, we know that whosoever is born of God, begotten, born, same word, sinneth not. But he that was begotten of God, that is your spiritual man, he was begotten of God, and he is in the image of Jesus, and Jesus was begotten of God. So people argue whether this is Jesus or whether it's you. Well, you better hope it's both. But he that was begotten of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. You don't have to sin. God gave you power over sin. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the evil one. The whole world lieth in the evil one. And quite a few people that are called Christians. You can't imagine how many Christians are going to take the mark of the beast. You can't imagine. Okay, so let's go to 1 Peter, and I'm going to look at 1 and 21. Who through him are believers in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing that you have purified your souls, this is a born-again soul he's talking about, as you're going to learn here, seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. What is the truth? The Word of God. It's the washing of the water with the Word. Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. If you don't obey, every time you get faced with a decision to obey your flesh or to obey your spiritual man, you can grow in your spiritual man or you can grow in your flesh. Depends on who you obey. You continue to obey the carnal man, you'll die. You won't grow. He says you purify your souls in your obedience to the truth. Now remember, in order to have the power to obey the truth, you must believe the gospel, the good news, that you don't live anymore. Sin has no more power over you. The Lord has given you his life. You must believe the gospel. You must look in the mirror and see Jesus. Seeing that you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, unto the what? Unfeigned love of the brethren. It's unfaked love. Everybody says they love you in the church, right? But do they? If they walk in sin, they don't love you. If they judge you instead of put faith in your heart to overcome, they don't love you. If they criticize you, cast you down, and cast away your faith, they don't love you. If you're in willful disobedience, and you claim that you're under the blood, and they don't tell you, they don't love you. So, unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently, having been born again. Well, there it is. Born again. That love. That purification of your soul. That born-again soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions, that born-again soul is what you have to have to manifest sonship. Now, I know there's a big, bad, false doctrine out there about the manifestation of the sons of God. I'm just telling you the truth about it. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. If God says it, believe it. Oh, that's the manifestation of sons of God. The Bible talks about it. It's a good thing. Do you want to be like Jesus? That's the manifestation of the sons of God. And it's going to happen in these days. You're going to see Jesus walking around here in the epiphany, shining forth from his sons, doing the same thing that he did, living the same life, loving people just like he did, walking in righteousness, shining forth from them in the glory of God. This is good stuff. I love it. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God. This is the incorruptible seed. This seed, which is the Word of God, when it goes into you, it can only create one thing. Each seed brings forth after its own kind. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. This seed of the Word of God can only create in you God. That's all. God's seed does not bring forth man. God's seed brings forth God. Each seed bringeth forth after its own kind. God in you. And you want him to take over. And that's what the sons of God is, because they're born of God. Sons of God, where do they come from? They're born of God. Born out of heaven. Born of the seed. It's an incorruptible seed. It can't bring forth anything but God. Anything that's of God can only bring forth God. It can only bring forth love. It can only bring forth righteousness. It can only bring forth deliverance from sin. If it's born of God, that's all it can do. It can't make man. Man comes from man. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the Word of God, which liveth and abideth. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth, but the word of the Lord abideth forever. Wow. So, what is it that's going to last? The word of the Lord. Who is the word of the Lord? Jesus. Remember the sign he had on him? Word of God. He is the Word of God. The Word of the Lord abideth forever. What is eternal life? What is temporal? Temporal life is that grass. Eternal life is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is the Word manifested in you. Eat the Word. Become what you eat. Devour the Word. Let it go into you and recreate in you that born-again man. Right? The Spirit, the water, which is the Word, and the blood. And this is the word of good tidings, which was preached unto you. It's the good news. See, they don't know what the good news is. The gospel, which is the power of God to save. They don't know what that is. You're looking at it. What does a saved person look like? Jesus. What does the Son of God look like? Jesus. What does a born-again person look like? Jesus. We all ended up in the same place here. Just different ways of describing the same situation. Jesus, Christ in you, the only hope of glory. I put the word only in there, but that's the truth. The only hope of glory, Christ in you. How does he get in you? You receive the word which is born out of heaven, that manna that came down out of heaven and gives life to the world. If you don't receive God's manna, his word, you will not be renewed. And you will not be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every day, the most important thing, study the Word of God and obey it. And if you're having trouble obeying it, go to the one who gives you the gift of faith. By grace have you been saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were we created for good works. One comes from God, one work comes from God, the other one is your own. Chapter 2 and verse 1, putting away therefore, in other words, since this is true, putting away therefore all wickedness, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, long for the spiritual milk, which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. Unto salvation. He's talking to saved people. They're saved by faith. But you see, salvation has to come by manifestation. What is the manifestation of salvation? Christ in you. You receive him by faith when you come. Now, they think they've already manifested Christ, and that's all you're ever going to get. That's because they don't understand what faith is. As long as you're saved by faith, you're not saved by manifestation. As long as you're a son of God by faith, you're not a son of God by manifestation. Faith comes before manifestation. Faith is believing something you have because God said you have it, because he gave it to you at the cross. But the manifestation is when it comes to pass. That's when the baby's born. That's when the world gets to see Christ in you, right? As newborn babes long for the spiritual milk. Are you longing after the world? You got distracted. If you get distracted, you will not make it to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You'll not make it. Don't get distracted. There's nothing out there that's important like this is. Now, God knows if you're after the prize. Just look at that Shulamite in Song of Solomon. She's after the prize of the high calling. And all the queens and the concubines, all, you know, Solomon's girls there, but they're all distracted, and they think she's a fanatic. No, she's the one that's going to make it. She'll be the bride. Don't get distracted. If you're distracted, ask God to put it in your heart to make you run the race. A lot of people are losing the race. They're running against the clock, and every distraction they got is causing them to lose the race. You have a certain amount of time to manifest that hundredfold fruit. And if you're distracted, you won't make it. The Shulamite wouldn't be distracted. They all tried to distract her. Notice, go read it. They all tried to distract her in Song of Solomon. She wouldn't be distracted. Nope, ain't got time for you. Running after Jesus. That you may grow thereby unto salvation. There is a manifestation of salvation. It looks like Jesus. It looks like holiness. It looks like deliverance from sin. That's what salvation is. Okay, let's look at another verse. 1 Peter 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again. That's the same word, borned us again, right? Unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When he was resurrected, we were resurrected. We accept that by faith. We only see it by manifestation when we're willing to give up the old life. We died with him. Okay, so die. You can't have resurrection life without death. Lose your life. You can't gain your life without losing your life. Remember, there's only enough room in you for one. As the old man dies, the new man comes to life. When they went into the promised land, they had to kill the old man to take their house and live in their house and raise their own fruit in their fields. That's a picture. So, he begat us at the cross. He begat us again unto a living hope. A firm expectation is what the word hope means. A living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You have that hope. Unto an inheritance incorruptible. Listen, everybody thinks that's just what I'm going to get in heaven. You better get it down here. This is where the fruit is born. You have to turn dirt to plant seed, and the fruit comes out of the dirt. Okay. Unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We've been given a gift in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, you're abiding in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus, you're going to have every gift that you get. Abiding in him, you bear fruit. That's what he said. If you don't abide in him, you don't bear fruit. They pluck you up, they throw you in the fire. That's what he said. Who by the power of God are guarded through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, I thought I already had salvation. You have it by faith. You must have it by manifestation. Everything that you believe for from God, you receive it first by faith before it is manifested. Okay? You receive the glory of Jesus by faith. And as you walk that faith out and you're willing to die, then he shines forth from you, the shining forth, the glory of God, like the bride with the lampros garment, which is the righteous acts of the saints. She has a lampros, Revelation 19, lampros, which means a glowing, a shining. And notice those that are invited to the marriage feast have a leukos, which means white. It's just white. That's good. White's good. Lampros is shining. It's the glory of God. She's the bride. She's shining with the glory of God. Revelation 19, read it. It's the same with you. It's the righteous acts of the saints. That glory that shines forth out of you is the righteous acts of the saints. Wherefore, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been put to grief in manifold trials. Yep, trials are the way to Jesus. You have decisions to make in trials. Trial is who you're going to obey, the old man or the new man. That's what a trial is. Okay. And of course, if you love him, you're going to keep his commandments. So what we're really proving is who loves him. The ones who love him are going to manifest. They're going to have that shining forth from them. That phaneru, that epiphany, because they love God, they're proven through the trials that they're going to keep his word. It's worth it to them to lose their life and gain that heavenly life and sit next to the Father. That the proof of your faith being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it is proved by fire. You go through the fire and you come out with the gold. Oh, glory to God, if you love him. May be found unto the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice he's already told us that it's a revelation at the last time. The manifestation of your salvation is not the beginning. It's the end. Whom not having seen you love, on whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. It's not your spirit. Your spirit's already saved. But how many of you know, Ecclesiastes, that when you die, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. If you don't overcome, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. But your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It is who you are. The end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning which salvation the prophets sought and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what time or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did point unto, when it testified before of the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow them. Oh, it's just fun to study this stuff and just have a hunger and a thirst for it, right? Okay, look at James chapter 1, verse 19. You know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Remember, born again is righteous, because the born again don't sin. The born again don't go out in wrath, right? For the wrath of God worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness. Sounds just like what Peter said, huh? If you can't put it away, why would he tell you to do something you can't do? If you're walking by faith that Jesus is the one who lives in you, he's got all power. When you look in the mirror and see Jesus, you don't see somebody that has no power. Guess what? You've got power. The devil's trying to tell you you don't. You do have power because you believe in him. You believe his life is your life. Therefore, his power is your power. And you have power over sin. And anybody that tells you not, they're preaching the Antichrist gospel. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word. Oh, wow. The implanted, the inborn word. Glory to God. It's the same word as inborn. Implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, who was he talking to? James 1 and 2. Count it all joy, my brethren. He's talking about us saving our soul. And what is your soul? The salvation of your soul? It's the end of your faith, not the beginning of your faith. Because as long as you have faith, you're still waiting for it to manifest. When it's manifested, you don't need faith anymore. You've got it, right? Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence is not yet seen. Faith is only good till the answer comes. Okay, if you're saved by faith, that means you're not saved by manifestation. So, we're working towards this manifestation. As we die, we gain, right? Receive with meekness the implanted word, or engrafted word, or inborn words, all the same, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word. Okay, once again, the spiritual man, that's what he does. He does the word. He is righteous. He does love the born-again man. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. The people that say we don't have to obey and that's salvation by works, they're deluded. They're deceived. They don't want to change. They don't want to be delivered of the old man. They want to continue on in their sins. And so they've justified it by having a doctrine that's goofy. Yuck. You remember Goofy, right? But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. For if any one is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the mirror. If you're constantly looking at the old man, oh, woe is me, look at that, you know. No, you're never going to get there, because there's no faith involved, and the righteous shall live literally from faith. You must believe you have received, Jesus said. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. That is faith. And if you see your natural face in the mirror, you will be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, as it says right here. He sees his natural face in the mirror. For he beholds himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Yeah, act when you have the decision to act. When you are in a trial, which is, again, a war between your spiritual man and your carnal man, act in the Spirit. If you walk after the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk after the flesh, you must die. That's what it says. He forgets what manner of man he was. And so he forgets it till the next time God brings it up in front of his face. And if he don't obey it then, he'll forget it till the next time. But guess what? You're running out of time. Repent. Follow the Lord. Ask him for everything. Pray and ask him for everything. And believe you've received everything. Well, after all, we're trying to find out who's a believer. Not everybody that's a Christian is a believer. And they don't go very far. But he that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing. And if any man thinketh himself to be religious, while he bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. In other words, a doer, you know. You see your brother in need, how's the love of God abide in you? If you don't have the love of God, you're not born again. So, you know, we have this awesome thing that we're waiting to see. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3, verse 18, I'll read you a few verses here, and I want to show you the reward that God has for you if you lose your life in this world. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, but we all, with an unveiled face, that is, if you're not blinded, right, with an unveiled face, beholding, if you haven't been deceived into not seeing what the gospel is, okay, but we all with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So notice, if you see Jesus in the mirror by faith, it takes some imagination, right? It's an image, notice, into the same image. It's an imagination, an image. You see Jesus by faith. Because he gave his life for you, and you don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. And you confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses, and your faith without works is dead. So when you believe, you speak it, right? And you believe that you have received this gift from God, free gift, not any of your works, but a free gift from God. Then you're going to what? Be transformed into the same image from glory to glory. That's star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. You're going to go through the process. And you're going to manifest Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go on down a little bit. Chapter 4. Even if our gospel is veiled, and it is, I mean, you don't find this in the dead churches out there. That's the reason they're dead. They don't have any power. That's the reason they don't have any power. Because they don't believe the gospel. The gospel brings Christ in you. And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled in them that literally are perishing. Wait a minute. He's talking about, yes, the people of God perishing. That are perishing. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of their unbelieving. So that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them. The light of the gospel, the good news that you don't live anymore and he lives in you. And you see him in the mirror and you're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. Should not dawn. The devil is in the churches to deceive you about the gospel and what it does and what it is even. They don't even know what it is. They say it's accept Jesus as your personal Savior. No, it's not. There's not a verse in there that says that. Not one. He demands you repent and believe the Word. They don't believe the Word. They don't know what born again is. Get out of there. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Get your Word. Read the Word. Get it straight from the Lord. Don't believe these liars. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. They didn't have that problem in the first church back then. Those people were all trained by Jesus. But they said there was coming a great falling away, and we're still looking at it. It won't dawn upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Seeing it is God that said, light shall shine out of darkness. Yes, that light, of course, first of all, is your spirit man, shining forth through that soul, that mind, that will, and that emotions that's not yet come into the image of Jesus Christ. In other words, the manifestation of salvation or sonship hasn't arrived. Light shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There it is again. So if you're not blinded by the devil, you can get this revelation. We all behold with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. We're not looking at the natural man in the mirror because he's dead. We confess him as dead because we were baptized. The old man died right there. Remember that. He died right there. If you haven't been baptized, you need to get baptized. It's an act of faith. You're accepting the fact that the old man is dead and the new man now lives. Read it. Romans chapter 6. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. Remember that. Who's going to do this work? You? No. Can't pick yourself up by your bootstraps, can you? But God can do it. That the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We're pressed on every side, yet not straitened, perplexed, yet not unto despair, pursued, yet not forsaken, smitten down, yet not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. Oh, I thought that didn't happen until I went to heaven. Yeah, I know that. That's what the the tradition is. See, you're going to miss it if you don't study the Word. Where is the manifestation of Christ in your body on the earth? The dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested, that's to shine forth, right, in our body. Oh, you say, well, that's our new body. Oh, no. Next verse. 11, for we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, so that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Uh-oh. See, now that makes you responsible. Here is where the fruit grows. Here is where the dirt is, right? But having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believed, and therefore did I speak. Okay, if you believe it, are you going to speak it? Because faith without works is dead. We also believe, and therefore also we speak. Okay, do you believe that you died and you don't live anymore and that Christ lives in you? Then say it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say it. Believe it. Accept it. Now, what is the reward? Are we all going to look like Jesus in heaven? Are we all going to have the same reward as some people preach? Well, no, it doesn't say that anywhere, and it's not the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's read it. For we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God. We have it. It's already built. How is it being built? It's being built by our works, our good works, just as the bride's garment. And just as we're told, hating the garment spotted by the flesh. You hate the garment that's spotted by works of flesh. Okay, your garment is the righteous acts of the saints, right? So listen carefully. If the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God. So he's talking about your body, your tabernacle is dissolved, and he calls it a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For verily in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon. So now it's a tabernacle. It's that body of yours. It's a building from God, and it's clothing. Remember the bride's clothing? Righteous acts of the saints, the lampros garment, glowing with the glory of God. For verily in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon with our habitation which is from heaven. Now some people say, we've got to die to get that. Well, wait a minute. Watch. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Okay, when you meet the Lord, you don't want to be naked. You want to have that clothing. You want to have that that spotless and blemishless life, right? For indeed, we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which would be unclothed, not for that we would be unclothed, in other words, losing this body. We're not wanting to lose this body until what? But that we would be clothed upon, that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. Where do you get the life? As the outer man's decaying, the inner man's being renewed day by day. The life is here. Where is this new garment? Like the bride had, this new garment, where is it? It's happening as we go, as we speak, as we walk this earth. We're creating that garment because it's the righteous acts of the saints. You want to be clothed upon that which is immortal, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. Notice, the manifestation of Jesus, we just read it in chapter 4 and verse 11, Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Now he that wrought us for this very thing is God, who gave unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Isn't this fun? Being therefore always of good courage, and knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, you must remember that, or you will never make any progress towards the Lord whatsoever. You see the end from the beginning. You look in the mirror and you see Jesus. That is your goal. That's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, right? We walk by faith and not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and are willing rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Are you willing? A lot of people aren't. They just talk about it, but they don't want to die today. No, we don't. No, we don't want to die today. Well, you really don't have that desire that Paul had, or that the Shulamite had, or that the sons of God have, to be in the presence of God. Lose your life to gain your life. You're talking and thinking physical, okay? Lose your life to gain your life. Lose your suke life, your soulish life. You gain your Zoe life, your heavenly life. And where does this happen? On the earth. And to be at home with the Lord. Wherefore also we make it our aim, whether at home or absent, to be well pleasing unto Him. For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ. Now the judgment seat here is translated also and actually means footprint tribunal. That's what the word actually means, footprint tribunal. In other words, we're being tested to see if we walk in the steps of Jesus. If any man says that he abides in him, let him walk as he walked. Therefore, you must walk in the steps of Jesus. What is a Christian supposed to look like? Now, that's a dumb question. Christ! Christian! Christ! So why did nobody look like Christ? Because they're imaging themselves after men. It's Christ. We want to look like Christ, love like Christ, have the fruit like Christ, treat other people like Christ, go to our cross like Christ, on and on. Do we walk in his steps? You're being tested. We must all be made manifest before the footprint tribunal of Christ, that each one may receive. Now let me tell you what the numeric pattern is here, because it is the way that God gave us to get back to the original. And I have the numeric English New Testament. It's the most accurate New Testament in the world. It says, the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive through the body, according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Notice, the bride did good, and she had a lampros garment, no spotted by the flesh garment, nothing spotted by the works of the flesh. The Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the garment. That's the building from God. That's the tabernacle from God. And he's telling you that your body is going to be how you're rewarded. Listen to it again. The judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive through the body, according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Everybody's not going to have the same body. Everybody's not going to have the same opportunity. Everybody's not going to have the same power. Everybody's not going to have the same glory. 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's the three bodies in 1 Corinthians 15 that Paul said the resurrected saints have. Three different bodies. There's a star glory body, there's a moon glory body, there's a sun glory body. The most righteous will sit with him in his throne. They're overcomers. What have they overcome? Sin. They will receive through the body according to what he hath done. The reward is going to be according to one of those three bodies. Oh, praise God. Wouldn't you like to have a sun glory body for eternity? You say, what are the privileges of a sun glory body far above a star glory body? There are different glories. You know, you just have to suffer a little while down here, saints. And what you get, you're going to have for eternity. And many, many fail. Listen to what God said in Matthew 13. But blessed are your eyes, verse 16, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things which you see, and saw them not, and hear the things which you hear, and heard them not. Hear then, ye, the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the evil one and snatcheth away that which has been sown in his heart. And of course, you know, there's a time when people can receive more than what they have now, and there's a time when a foundation has been laid for them to receive deeper understanding. And of course, if you're born of God, you can see the kingdom. Whatsoever part of you is born of God can see the kingdom, and the part of you that's not cannot see the kingdom. Born again comes with its privileges. You have discernment. You have wisdom. And by the way, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit just like the New Testament commands. These people that don't want any of them gifts, oh my goodness, no, no, we don't want that. Oh, gosh, you've rejected the Word of God, which came to give you these awesome gifts. You need these gifts. The people around you need these gifts. Read the Bible. Jesus had these gifts. You can't have Jesus without having his gifts. You want the Jesus of the Bible? Well, just look at what he did. What was his ministry? It was supernatural. Christianity is supernatural. If your Christianity is dead, guess what? You got a dead Jesus. And that's another Jesus. Because our Jesus is powerful, and he's holy, and he's righteous, and he's delivered from sin, and he has power over sin. That's the Jesus we see in the mirror. And he's not sick either. That's the Jesus we see in the mirror. Okay? So when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the evil one and snatches away that which is sown in the heart. This is he that was sown by the wayside. You might have been at a time, one time, or one of those by the wayside. You heard it, and it didn't do you a bit of good. Just went right on out. Just, you forgot it. In verse 20. And he that was sown upon the rocky places, this is he that heareth the word, and straightway with joy receiveth it. With joy receiveth it. We see lots of people that receive the word with joy. But are they there tomorrow? Are they still there tomorrow? The rocky places. You know how a seed sprouts up. It'll sprout up on rocky places. How long is it going to last? Not long. Yet hath he not root in himself. You're not rooted in the word. You don't love the word. You got to put that word in there until it overcomes your old programming. You put it in there till it overcomes your old programming. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, because it has to come because of the word. You're tested. When the word comes in, you're tested. You're tried. You're going to listen to your carnal man, or you're going to listen to your spiritual man. If you listen to the carnal man, you're going to die. You're going to die a little bit every time you do it. If you listen to your spiritual man, you're going to grow. You're going to grow a little bit every time you do it. Because of the word, straightway he stumbleth. Yep, there's a lot of them out there in the world. They were sown on the rocky places. They were just, it sprouted up with joy, but they gave it no root. They didn't spend any time with Jesus. They didn't ask him for help. They just muddled through and failed because they tried to do it themselves. And the world is full of these people. Wait till they get to hear the real gospel from the man-child ministry. Because a lot of them are going to come back. And some of them won't. 22. And he that was sown among the thorns. This is he that heareth the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word. It always does. You love the things of the world? The love of the Father is not in you. If you love the Father, you're going after the word. You're going after the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, right? Cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Look, the fruit, the seed is sown in your heart. Your heart is the womb of the seed, the sperma. Your heart is where the seed is sown. And you break up your fallow ground by repenting, okay, to give good ground to the seed. Otherwise, that word will become unfruitful. It's wasted. You wasted it. 23. And he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, who verily beareth fruit and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 30, and some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Oh, praise God. That's a 1 out of 4. And at least 3 of those received the word into their heart with belief and lost out. At least 3 of those. That just tells you how many people are out there in the world that at one time had an experience with God and lost it. It tells you very clearly. And they lost it. And maybe, you know, because they only heard lies, it was something other than the Word, and the Word is the only thing that can bear fruit. Maybe when they hear the real gospel, they'll pick it up again. And some won't. Some will never come back. Well, look at Psalm 82. I'm going to read it to you. God standeth in the congregation of God. It's His congregation. It's His people. He judgeth among the gods. Oh, my goodness. Who are these gods? Well, if God has a son, it's a god. Okay. Is your flesh God? No. Is your natural man God? No. Can you make God? No. It's the Word of God that makes God. It's the seed of God. It's the sperma of God. It can't bring forth anything but God. You say, that's blasphemy, David. No, it's not. It's right here. And Jesus said the same thing. He judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and respect the persons of the wicked? Talking about you sons of God out there. You people of God out there, judge the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the poor and needy. We have the same authority that Jesus had. As the Father sent me, so send I you. And He sent them forth with power. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. He sent us forth with power to help His people. Rescue the poor and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither do they understand. They walk to and fro in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, ye are gods. Jesus quoted from this. I said, ye are gods, all of you sons of the Most High. If you're a son of God, then you're God. Not you, the natural man. Oh, no. Because that's the enemy of God. It's Christ in you. If you don't have Christ in you, well, then you don't have God in you. If you do have Christ in you, then you have God in you. He's growing in you like a baby. He's growing, 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 growing. Keep feeding Him, Mom. Right? In the womb, right? Jesus said, I said, you're gods. All of you sons of the Most High. And if He called them gods unto whom the Word of God came, Jesus said that when He quoted this verse. And if He called them gods unto whom the Word of God came, and the Scripture cannot be broken, say ye of Him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because thou said, I am Son of God? Notice, I said, ye are gods, all of you sons of the Most High. Look what He says, verse 7. Nevertheless, you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Okay, so we know we have to die. And then verse 8. Arise, O God. Uh-oh. Judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all the nations. Arise, O God. Okay, so that resurrected person in us, that resurrected man in us, is God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not you, the old man, you, the natural man, you, the fallen man. They can't ever be God. That's kind of a Mormon doctrine there. But I'm just saying what Jesus said. If He called them gods unto whom the Word of God came, and the Scripture cannot be broken. He's saying, no, it's what the Word of God says. Say ye of Him who the Father sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because thou said, I am Son of God. Son of God. Who did that make Him? Well, they knew who it made Him. They knew it made Him God. If He was the Son of God, then He's God. Wow. God made this earth for the sons of God. He made it for the sons of God. He made it as a proving ground for the sons of God. And He is going to prove before this is over, the power of the gospel to manifest the sons of God, which the whole creation is waiting for, including that creation that you walk in, that old natural creation, this man that you walk in right here. Okay? This man that you walk in. The creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Look how many people were waiting for Jesus to show up. Why? He had the truth, which sets free. He had the power to heal the sick. He had the power to raise the dead. He set the creation free. Now, what are the manifestation of the sons of God going to do? That's right. You're going to have a lot of Jesus walking around here in his people, up an epiphany of him shining forth out of his people to do the exact same works except greater. That's what he said. Greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. Isn't this awesome? What an awesome thing. We are son of man, but we are son of God. The son of man is dying. The son of God is resurrecting. He's going to shine forth 30, 60, and 100-fold. People want to short circuit that. They want to tell you that 100-fold is just 100 people saved by you. No, it's not that. It's the fruit of Christ. It was his word in your heart, and the word in your heart brings forth him in you. It has nothing to do with how many people you're used to save, and why does it stop at 100? And a lot of people don't save 100 people. And what if you saved over 100 people? But it only says you can go to 100. Why? Because it's 100, it's completeness in the Bible. It's completeness. So, Father, we thank you for this awesome gift of yours, this born-again gift, Lord. Let your people know what born-again really is, Lord. The truth about born-again, the truth about the gospel, the truth about what you came to do, to replicate yourself in this earth. To have many people manifest the sons of God. He was the firstborn among many brethren. Many brethren. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for this great hope and this prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. Okay, saints, go and study your word. Amen. Good night. God bless you.